Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I was blessed with the worship and also the video we just watched. Jesus is that Prince of Peace. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise Him this morning. That's why we are here this morning, is because of Jesus Christ. Also appreciate that Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So what is our response? When He leads us, our response is to follow Him. This morning, the title of my message is Come, Follow Me. And first off, I want to just say greetings from Church at Cross Keys in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We look forward to be with you this morning. God bless you as you serve Him in this out here in Ohio. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for this opportunity we have to gather together as brothers and sisters. I pray that Your presence will be in our midst, that You will continue to guide us, direct us, You will draw us closer to Yourself, and that Your name, O God, will go forth as we follow You. So, Father, we bless You and praise You. Pray that You would just continue to guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. So come, follow me. In the school of Christ, in the soldiers, Bert tells of a story of that is from Italy. It tells of this man when Gabaldi entered, when he passed through Italy, he found young men in Florence standing in the street corners at 2 a.m. Gabaldi said, "Follow me." The youth said, "What is in it for us?" Gabaldi answered, "Cold, weary nights, hungry stomachs, bleeding feet, and a part of the greatest victory your nation has ever known." And they followed him to the man. Because there was a purpose. There was something for them to follow after. There was a vision for them of being a part of the greatest victory that Italy has ever known. So what about us? Are we a part of the greatest victory our nation has ever known? The world has ever known because of Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? So what does that mean? We just do everything we want to do, and as an afterthought, we follow Jesus Christ, right? Or how about what does it mean to take up our cross and follow Him? We take up our cross. In the Old Testament, in the old days back in Rome, that meant one thing only. That meant death. To take up our cross meant death, meant dying. And it was not a simple thing of just putting a cross around your neck or carrying it in your pocket or anything like that, but it meant death. And it meant by the most cruel means possible. And here Jesus is saying, take up your cross, take up our cross and follow Him. I want to look at some of the accounts in the Old Testament, then we'll move on into the New Testament. The familiar story of Abraham put to the test. Is he willing to submit his only son to God and offer him up as a sacrifice? I can only imagine the agony that he went through of offering up his son the promised son, that God said that through his son, the whole world is going to be blessed, or that his seed will be as the stars in the sky for multitude, as the sand of the sea. Now God is saying, bring him to the mountain here and offer him up as a sacrifice. Can only imagine the agony that Abraham went through. This is my thoughts, but possibly similar to Jesus in the garden, just to in that way. So Genesis 22:1-18. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give unto me, and get thee into Mount of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up, and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the face afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram stood in the thickets by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which is said to this place, In the mountain of the Lord it has been seen. And the angel of the Lord said unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy only son, then blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed that shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So again, what a promise. But Abraham, he said, when God told him to go, to offer his son, he said, early the next morning, he rose up early, and he went. You would think, well, you don't read that he questioned God in any way, but God told him, and he rose, and he went. I was just imagining, as he was walking towards the mountain, he said, after the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And I guess just thinking about that, as we were traveling out to Trinidad this past week, or last weekend, you saw the Rockies far off in the distance, but you still traveled hour after hour after hour until you actually got there. And you can imagine that Abraham, as he was walking, he saw the face afar off. I wonder how many days he was still walking until he actually got to the mount. And just that commitment he had to serve God, to obey his voice, regardless of what his thoughts or whatever it would have been, but he followed through with that. And we read in Numbers 32, a couple verses here, where Caleb and Joshua followed and believed God when the other 10 only saw the impossibilities. Numbers 32:10, and the Lord's anger was kindled at the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Again, there was odds against all, the eight saw the impossibilities. But Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. They knew the promises of God, and therefore they didn't just saw the possibilities, but they believed God. And then Elijah puts a call out to follow the Lord God. I'm just going to quickly go through some verses. You don't have to follow after. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah said unto the people and said, how long will you hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Again, the invitation was given to follow the Lord and not hold between the two opinions, not hold between Baal and God. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come upon us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. Especially there in Israel, they depended on the former and the latter rain to bring forth the fruit of the land. And he's saying that if we follow on to know the Lord, he's going forth to prepare as the morning. He should come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former day rain upon the earth. In the New Testament, Jesus calling and asking his disciples to follow him. To Matthew 4, to 12 to 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed unto Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which was on the seashore in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea upon, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Was that what I want? And the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to him that sat in the regions and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Read on down to 22. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the ship of Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. Again, what is our response in following Jesus? It says, James and John When Jesus called them to follow him, they immediately left their occupation, left their father, and they followed him. Matthew 8:18-22. Now when Jesus saw his great multitudes about them, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And certain scribes came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus says unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And again, Matthew 9:9. And Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said, Follow me, and he rose and followed him. Again, the response, Jesus said, Follow me, and he rose and followed him. Then Matthew 16 says, Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Matthew 16:24-28. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. Then Mark 8 also gives a similar challenge verse 38. So Mark 8, 34-38. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto him, Whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel of the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give his change for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall not be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. So he gives a challenge that we are not to be ashamed of him. Because if we are ashamed of him, says the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will also be ashamed of us when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as he went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man has not where to lay his hand, And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell that are in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man taketh his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So had to think of what would our excuse be today. What about I need to build my career so that I can support my families, and then I will follow him. But Jesus is saying, no, come follow me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul is saying, come follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Are we so confident in our walk with Jesus Christ that we can say to someone, come follow me, imitate me as I follow Jesus Christ? And as you imitate me, as you follow me, you will come to Jesus Christ. Are we that committed? Are we that confident of our walk with Jesus Christ that we can say that? Or are we looking back and desiring things that we had in the past, like the Israelites did when they came out of the land of Egypt? When times got tough, they remembered the things of the past. They remembered the fish and the food that they had to eat in Egypt. And they desired to go back into the past. What is our response with Jesus' command that says, come, follow me? I had to think of even from our background with the community and everything that's there. You could easily think of, you know, it was pretty good. You had it pretty good back then. And maybe not quite as much struggles because everything was laid out. But no, Jesus said, come, follow me. We are to let the past be the past. We are to learn from the past and move forward. Once I give an illustration, which Ed also brought it out recently. So as we all look at our vehicles as, I mean, there's a reason that the windshield is so big and the rear mirrors are so small. We are to, if it would be turned around, we would soon have an accident, right? Because we would be so focused on what's behind us, and we would just have these small windows to look out of to see where we're going. We all know that doesn't work. And likewise, in our lives, we don't just focus on what's behind us. We focus on what's in front of us. And even with that said, the mirrors are there to still be aware of what's behind us. But the focus is not what's behind us, it's what's in front of us. And we are, as we follow Jesus Christ, we don't just focus on what we had back in Egypt, but we look forward to what Jesus Christ has before us. A very familiar song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Again, the decision is ours. Have we decided to follow Jesus? The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. So is the cross before us and the world behind us? Or do we enjoy having one foot in the world and one foot in the church? Do we enjoy those things that the world enjoys? Or have we decided? The cross before me reminds, as I was looking at that, reminded back from the first time I saw a picture, like more of a realistic picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. We look at the Bible story books and it's just a clean cut Jesus, no blood, no nothing. But when I watched a movie back when I was still Amish of Jesus on the cross, I mean, his body was not a sight that you desire to look upon, but he was bruised. But his skin was cut, I believe, down to the bones. But he did it for us. He did it so that we can be redeemed. We can be set free. and that we can walk in victory in His fullness, in His lightness. Though none go with me, still I will follow, no turning back. Are we so set following Jesus Christ, even though if others forsake us? I know that in this area, in America, we probably don't have to be that completely, I mean, that radical. But many of our brothers and sisters in persecuted countries, they face that. Their family turns against them in a radical way. I know we face some of that, especially for the ones that came out of the armies. But it's just a small picture of that. Many of the, especially in the Muslim world, if somebody decides to follow Jesus Christ, they are not taking that step lightly, because it could mean them, or very possibly mean them, their life. And everybody else forsaking them, and then being pushed out completely out of their family, their community, and everything, and also put the intense pressure put on them to forsake Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus, no turning back? Again, the decision is ours to follow Jesus Christ. There is no... God has given us a choice. He does not force us to follow Him, but the invitation is there to follow Him. John 10 talks about the shepherd. John 10, 1 to 5... and then also 25 to 30. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. And the stranger will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know that the voice of strangers. Just reading that challenged me as well. Do we know the voice of our shepherd? Do we know his voice? There are many voices out there, but do we know the voice of our shepherd? And as he leads us, will we follow him? And then 25 to 30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they may never perish, neither may any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Again, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. So Jesus Christ knows us, and they follow me. So we follow Jesus Christ because we know Him and we hear His voice. C.H. Spurgeon says it this way. We should follow our Lord as unhesitantly as sheep follow their shepherd, for he has a right to lead us wheresoever he please. We are not our own, we are bought with a price. Let us recognize the right of the redeeming blood. The soldier follows his captain, the servant obeys his master. Much more must we follow our Redeemer, to whom we are a purchased possession. We are not true to our profession as being Christian if we question the bidding of our leader and commander. Submission is our duty. Often might our Lord say to us as to Peter, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Wherever Jesus may lead us, he goes before us. If we know not where we go, we know with whom we go. With such a companion, who would dread the perils of the world? The journey may be long, but His everlasting arms will carry us to the end. The presence of Jesus is the assurance of eternal salvation. Because He lived, we may live also. You shall follow Christ in simplicity and faith, because the path which He leads us all ends in glory and immortality. It is true, it may not be a smooth path. They may be covered with sharp trials, but they lead us to the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such that keep His covenant. Let us fully trust in our leader, since we know that come prosperity or adversity, sickness or health, prosperity, popularity or contempt, His purpose shall be worked out, and that purpose shall be pure, unmingled good to every heir of mercy. We shall find it sweet to go in the bleak side of the hill with Christ, and when rain or snow blur in our face, His dear love will make us more blessed than those that sit at home and warm their hands at the world's fair. To the dens of lions or to the hills of leopard, we will follow our beloved. Bless, precious Jesus, draw us, and we will run after Thee. He does not promise an easy road, but He promised that He will go with us. He will be with us. He will guide us. He will lead us. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which we have of God? We are not our own, for we are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God. So our bodies are not our own. We are bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price by giving Himself on the cross, that through His death and resurrection, we can have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus says in John 8 that whom the Son sets free will be free indeed. We all want that freedom, right? We want to be set free. We want to be free indeed. But with that comes, we follow Him, because not because we love Him, but because He first loved us. So die has been cast. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Look unto Jesus, the finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's Hebrews 12:1-2, referring to chapter 11 with the great cloud of witness. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So again, who is this Jesus that we're following? Who is He? He is King of Kings. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Messiah. He's the Deliverer. He's the Good Shepherd. He is the Son of God. He's the Anointed One. He's the True Vine. He's the name that's above all names. He's the Morning Star. He's the Emmanuel. Lord of Lords. The way, the truth, and the life. He's the Redeemer. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Deliverer. He's the High Priest. He's the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the Word of Life. He's the Word of God. He's the Holy One. Prince of Priests. He's the Light of the World. And He's King of Kings. And He's Lord of Lords. And even that doesn't do justice. We have a lot of titles, we have a lot of names that we can say that He is. But is He our Lord? Is he our King? Is He our Redeemer? Is He our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he our good shepherd? Is he our deliverer? Is he our Messiah? Is it personal to us? Or is he the name that's just a name? What if your or my struggles or sins will be completely taken care of by simply yielding or submitting our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And we will be in perfect peace, trusting similar to what our small children trust us. That complete peace, that complete trust. In closing, I want to just look at a couple of verses in Revelations, then also in Isaiah. Revelations 20, verse 12 to the end. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in it, in them, and were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. Gives a strong warning of those that are not written in the book of life, those that are not following Jesus Christ. But then Revelations 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that's athirst of the fountain of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Again, what a promise. Then Isaiah 1. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment and relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. What a promise. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And this is, as we follow Jesus Christ, again, John 3, a very familiar verse, is, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Lord, of the only begotten Son of God. So God bless you. I hope this, trust this was an encouragement as we walk through this life together. May we follow him. May we look to Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. May we hear his voice, like it says in John 10, and follow him. God bless you.